Rolling Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, the Mishnah. So we learned in the previous Mishnah and the Gemara about on it, all of the Chumras, or a whole bunch of the Chumras that apply to, or the Milas, that apply to Kodshim over Truma. So now we're going to have in our Mishnah the other way around. Chumra b'Truma. There's a Chumra in Truma relative to Kodshim. Namely, now we did learn the other day in the Gemara that there's a reason why Bechlal do we have the Milas of Kodesh is because we said that Amei Oretz deal with Kodeshim as well. Unlike, so we said that Truma, there's always a choice. The Amei Oretz, if a Chavah won't accept Truma from an Amei Oretz, then the Amei Oretz can always give it to another Kohen who's also an Amei Oretz and he won't care. But Kodshim, since there's only one base of Mikdash, we don't want, as we said, we don't want the Dama Oretz to be burning a bomb on the Atzma. We don't want he's going to go and build a bomb for himself and make his own base of Mikdash where he can keep his standards of Tara, of Tumah V'Tara, and make himself his own Par Adumah. So that's what we said. Because of that, it means, in other words, therefore, so we have Amei Oretz are handling Kodshim, and therefore we have to make certain Chumras in it more than we would for Truma. But now we have the other way around. That results, as we're going to say in our Mishnah, as in a Kula. So Chumra b'Truma, so the Chumra in Truma over Kodshim, Shebi Yehuda, because specifically in the land of Yehuda, which is the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, and we'll see in the Gemara why specifically there, Ne'eman and Altaras Yain v'Shemen Kol Yimei Shashana. Amei Oretz are trusted about the Tahara of wine or oil all year round. Meaning, in other words, that if when they were pressing the wine or the oil, they designated it at the time that they planned to use it, that they're being makdashit. They're planning to use it for nesachim. Then we can trust them all year round that they did in fact take care to keep it tahor, and therefore we can use it for nesachim. So Tosfos points out that that is one way of understanding it. That in other words, they did it when they were pressing it to begin with, they were makdish it right then. And as we're going to say in a minute, when it comes during the pressing season, they would make sure to remain tahor because they wanted to be able to, because they still did want to be able to give their truma to a kohen chaver if possible. So they would be matahar themselves, or rather the chaverim would work on being matahar them at the time of the pressings. So therefore, so that's one way of understanding it then, is since at the time they were makdish it, and the Amei Oretz are, the Amei Oretz know, after all, that we can't use tomei wine or oil for Nesachim, so therefore we can take them at their word that they were careful about it. Tosfos says another possibility is, doesn't mean that they were makdish it at the time, just that they designated it, that they planned to eventually use it for Nesachim. So we know that they pressed it. It was chulin at the time. Then, so what we say is, because when later on he's makdish it, then we can say, since he knows that in order for it to be Kodesh, in order for it to be poured on the Mizbeah, it has to be Tahor, then it means we can accept that from the time that he pressed it, he was very careful to keep it in conditions of Tahara. Anyway, so that's as far as Kodeshim. Obishasa Gites V'Habadim Afala Truma, whereas when it comes to Truma, we can trust them only when it comes to the time of the pressings. Gitos is where gas is, what is the press, is a wine press. A bad is an olive press. So when, during the time of year, when people are pressing their grapes and pressing their olives, then we can trust them as far as Truma as well, because everybody takes care to become Tahor at that time. Chaverim will go around and make sure and work on being the Tahor of people and give them instructions what they need to do. So therefore, during that time of year, you can trust them about Truma. But the rest of the year not. But the rest of the year, you can trust them as far as Kodesh. So there's a Chumra of Truma over Kodeshim. Continues the Mishnah. And again, we said that only in Yehuda do we trust them about wine and oil of Nesachim. And we'll see in the Gemara why Davke in Yehuda. Continues the Mishnah. Obru Agitis V'Habadim. If the time of the pressing of the wine or the oil is over, Behevir Lo Chavis Cho Yayin Cho Truma, and they bring a person a barrel of wine, they bring a kohen a barrel of wine of truma, lo yikam lana minenu, he should not accept it from him, because now that it's after the pressing season, we can't necessarily say that the Amei Oretz was careful to keep it for Tahara. So therefore, we have the ordinary rule of food of an Amei Oretz, where we have to say that it's tomei misafik, and the kohen is not going to be able to eat it. and therefore there's nothing you'd be able to do with it. You can't even, at least if it was oil, for example, conceivably, then the Kohen could take it and use it for lamp oil, because to burn, because you're allowed to do that with Terumat Tameah. But wine, there's nothing you can do with. The Im Omar Loi, however, if the Amoret says to the Chaver, Hifrashti L'Seicha Revius Kodesh, I separated out in that barrel a Revius of Kodesh, Naman, then we believe him, because it's an example of Migoy, Rashi says, since we believe him about the Kodesh, because as we said, Amir Oretz are very careful about Kodesh, then therefore we can believe him also about the Turma. Now, a couple of interesting points in that. First of all, Tosfos points out, there's on the side over here, you can see there's a reference in the Sotos HaShas to Tosfos and a couple of other places in Shas, in Zvokim and in Cholin, that discuss the question, well, what good does that do? Okay, so you have a Revius of Kodesh in there, and that means he was careful to watch it, the Tahara. But still, the Kohen can't eat it. The Kohen can't drink that wine then, because it's got Kodesh mixed into it. So Tosfos discusses in those places that maybe we don't mean that he was actually makrish. Maybe he means that he did something al tnai. He said when the wine is taken out of here, then a revius of it should be Kodesh, or something like that. The Meiri explains, let's say, for example, that he measured out the wine in the barrel, and it turned out to be more than he needs for Truma, a little bit more. So he says, you know what, whatever's left in there will be Kodesh. And so what'll happen is, in other words, it's a matter of Brera. Now you have all over Shas a discussion about Brera, whether it works or not. You have different opinions about it. The halacha is Brera works by things that are bonum, but not Daraisa. Okay, here we're talking Daraisa, but still, according to the opinion that Brera works, then we could say that what happens is at the end, the revius that he leaves over is going to be the revius that all along was the Kodesh, and therefore the Kohen has no problem drinking the rest. Tosfos discusses that in a couple of places. The interesting point is that Rashi over here uses the expression when he says revius, he says lug shemen. He says a revius of a lug of oil. So first of all, Rashi is informing us that a revius over here means, like it means in most of Shas, means revius halug, like we have, for example, for Kiddush and for other things. The point being that Tosfos in some of those places also discusses that, one second, what good would a revius of a lug do anyway? That's that you can't use that for Nesachim. The minimum amount of wine or oil for Nesachim is revius hahin, is a quarter of a hin, which is much larger. A hin is 12 logim. So a revius of that would be 3 logim, so 12 times as much. So in fact, the Turei Evan and our Gemara on our Mishnah says that over here, not like Rashi, we have to evidently say that revius over here means revius a hin. However, the fact is that Rashi is saying that it means a revius of a log, and Rashi is using the expression as oil, which why? Because where the Mishnah is talking about a barrel of wine. So there's an interesting idea that's brought in a sefer called the Yunim Medirei Chazal that he says maybe what we're talking about is not where there's any problem of mixing. In fact, what they used to do sometimes in those days, and we find hints of it in various other places in Chas, when they had a barrel of wine, they would pour a layer of oil over the wine to help keep it airtight. The point is that this way, like this, without that, air and bacteria and what have you could get into the wine and eventually spoil it. So like this, they put a layer of oil over it, and that would make it more airtight, and then that way the wine is less likely to spoil. So therefore, he says maybe that's what Rashi means over here, and maybe that's what the Mishnah means when it says Rashi b'Seicha Revius Kodesh. He means the Amoritz is telling us here's a barrel of wine of Turma. After I'd made the wine, I poured in a revius halug, which like Rashi says, so we're talking only a revius of oil of Kodesh with the purpose of protecting the wine. So fine, then we can trust him. Now the wine, how do we do? So what do we do? We can easily skim the oil off the wine. Oil and wine don't mix. So we're going to skim off the oil, the revius of oil. That will be reserved for Kodeshim, and eventually we'll combine it together with more oil and use it for Nesachim. And the rest, the wine, will still be usable for Truma because the oil is not mixed into it anymore. So that would answer how we're using only a revius of a lug, and also why we're not concerned about it being mixed, like Tosfos says. But with that said, in those places, Tosfos points out there are times when we use only a revius of oil for certain things of Kodeshim. For example, the, for example, the, the, what do you call it, the Chalos Todo, the Kike Nazir, and certain other things. There are certain ones where you use only a reverse of oil in baking. All right. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. So there we have a Chumrah in Truma over Kodshim, namely that Truma, we trust the Amah Oretz only at the time of the pressing, but not afterwards, whereas with Kodshim, we trust them about the wine and the oil all year round. Continues the Mishnah. Kade Yayin the Kade Shemen Hamadrumois. If you have barrels or jugs of wine or oil that on the Drumois, usually in Shas, the word meduma means when you have truma mixed with cholin. So it sounds like you have tevel of truma and cholin that are mixed together. We'll see in the Gemara that actually here it has a bit of a different meaning. Anyway, Namon and Alein b'shasagutos. The Mishnah says you can trust the Amir Oretz about it at the time of the pressing, b'shasagutos v'abadim, at the time of the pressing of the wine and the oil, v'kodim l'gitis shivim yom, and not only during that time, not only during the actual time of the pressing, but 70 days before it, because beginning 70 days ahead of time is when they would start being the tahir, their kalim, to make sure that they can take their truma, to make sure that they can take their truma, the tahara, and then be able to give it to the kohen. So therefore, that's the period when we say that we can trust them about the tahara of their wine and of their oil. And we'll see in the Gemara that also the word kadeh yayin and kadeh shemen implies that in some cases we can also trust them about the jugs themselves, that they're also tahar. So we'll get to that in the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off. So the Mishnah is telling us that only in Yehuda, which is the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, do we trust the Amir Oretz about the tara of wine or shem of wine or oil for Nesachim over Galil Loi. The implication is in the Galil not. Now, my time, why not? There are plenty of Jews living in the Galil as well. Because there's a strip of land of where the Kustim live that separates them. So the Kustim lived in the center of Eretz Yisrael. They lived in the area surrounding the cities of Shechem and Shomron. But apparently at some point they spread across the entire width of that part of Eretz Yisrael. You look on a map nowadays, for the most part, that area is part of what they call the West Bank, the Shechem. So at that point, so nowadays we have at least that doesn't reach quite all the way to the Mediterranean. You have a strip along over there that's solidly settled by Jews. But back then, apparently they didn't. They had the Kusim that settled in the entire middle of Eretz Yisrael from east to west. Now, the problem is, Rashi says, there's what's called Tumas Eretz Amin. The Chachamim at some point made a gzera that the lands of the Goyim are Tomei. So therefore, there's no way to bring the wine or oil through without it becoming tame as you're passing through. There are Mephoshim who say that it doesn't necessarily mean, it's not necessarily the matter of Eretz Ha'amim. It is, after all, part of Eretz Yisrael. Rather, it's something called Medoris HaGoyim, or Medoris HaNochrim, or Medoris HaAkum, whatever, which is discussed at the end of Mishnayis Oholos. Namely, that the Goyim in those times, and we're saying the Kustim as well, were not always careful to bury their dead in defined places. In particular, if they had stillborn children, or children who passed away very young, Rahman al-Zman, then they wouldn't necessarily be careful to make a funeral for them and bury them properly in a basic modest. They would just bury them anywhere. They'd just bury them under the floor of their house or something. You have to remember that miscarriages and stillbirths and things like that were a lot more common in those days than they are now. So the Chachamim made a separate gzera called Medoras HaGoyim that says that any place where Goyim live, then it's Tomei Misopik, because there may be stillbirths or whatever buried over there. So according to some Mephoshim, that's what we're saying over here. Not so much a matter of Eretz Ha'amim, like Rashi says, but the matter of Medoras HaGoyim. Want to say something? So the point is, in other words, even any chaverim who are in the Galil are not going to be able to bring wine and oil to the Beis Mikdash for Nesachim, because they're going to have to pass through the land of the Kustim and it's going to become Tamei. So the Gemara asks why? V'nesiv b'shita tevo migdol. Why can't they put the container of wine or oil in a shita tevo migdol, which are various kinds of carriages or boxes or chests or whatever, and bring it on a wagon to Eretz Yehuda? And the answer is Hamani Rebbe. The answer is our Mishnah would go like Rebbe, Dama Oyel Zorok Lab Shmei Oyel. He says that a thrown oil, meaning an oil that moves from one place to another, is not considered an oil, and therefore it doesn't. So therefore, it doesn't make a hefsek. Rashi says, in particular, the chachamim were gozer. Not only the earth of Eretz Amim is tamei when you step on it, but even the air of Eretz Amim is metamei as you go through it. And Rebbe says that a shida tevo migdol, because they're movable, do not block that truma from coming in. So therefore, the truma is going to wind up coming in and be metamei the wine or the oil. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a brisa, a machlokes about that. Hanichnas la'eretz ha'amim b'shita tevo migdol. If a person goes into this eretz ha'amim in one of these contraptions, really strictly speaking, a shida is a carriage, like a coach, like one of those enclosed carriages that are pulled by horses. In modern terms, I guess the equivalent would be a car. A teva is a chest, and a migdol is a cabinet. Anyway, so if a person goes into eretz ha'amim in one of those, Rebbe Matame, Rebbe says he's still Tomei because of the air of Eretz Amim, but Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Matar. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says it to her because he holds that it works. So fine, our Mishnah is going according to Rebbe, which is in fact the halacha, so therefore even so a movable oil is not going to prevent the tumor from coming in. In fact, Tosfos says even Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would agree if the oil is literally being thrown or flying through the air or something, that it wouldn't block the tumor. He says only when it's rolling along on wheels, then he would say it does block the truma, and Rebbe says still not. All of this is very negeah, by the way. Nowadays, really the only application of Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara that we have until the Beis Hamikdash is built is that Kohenim are not allowed to become Tumah. So this is one of the points that comes up. For example, a Kohen driving on a bridge that goes over a cemetery, or a Kohen flying in an airplane that goes over a cemetery. There's a huge amount of discussion among the post Machronim about the ins and outs of that, what's allowed and what's not allowed. And in fact, many times, for example, they've actually had flights rerouted to not go over cemeteries in order not to pose a problem for Kohen. Because again, all of it comes in to this matter of Oyel Zoruk, where we're saying it doesn't work to block the Tumah. Anyway, so the point is, so according to Rebbe, at least there's no way to pass from the land, from the Galil to Eretz Yehuda, which is where the Beis Hamikdash is located, to bring the wine or the oil. Therefore, they don't do it. So the Gemara asks, "Well, I saw the Kli Cheres Amukaf Tzamed Bzil. Still, isn't there an alternative? They could bring the wine or the oil in an earthenware keli that's sealed with a tight stopper, where then the pasuk tells us that prevents tumas mes from going in. So then that should, so if it works even for tumas mes, which is Garaisa, for sure it'll work with Eretz Amin, which is only Dirabanan. And the answer is Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Shonin Ein Hektish Nitzel B'Tzamed Bzil. No. The Tanoim teach a Braisa that says that Kodesh is not saved by a Tzamed Pasul. This is an Agzera that the Chachamim made by Kodesh. That Tzamed Pasul, even though the thing is tightly stoppered, and usually for Cholin and even for Truma, that would be fine, but for Kodesh it doesn't help, and it still becomes Tamed Rabbanan anyway. Okay. So you can't do that. But what do you mean? The Gemara says Vahatanya, or Vahatanan, and really it's a Mishnah. What do you mean? Don't we learn in a Mishnah Ein Chatos Nitzelus B'Tzamed Pasil, that Chatos, meaning Parah Adruma water, is not saved by a Tzamed Pasil, meaning that if you have Parah Adruma water in a container that has a Tzamed Pasil, a tightly attached stopper. Tzamed Pasul, by the way, technically means that it means it not only has to be tightly attached, it has to be like smeared on. So like you have a cap on, you have a cap or a cover on it on, and in addition you have something smeared around the sides of it to make it as airtight as possible. So the Torah tells us that saves by an oil mess. However, the Mishnah is saying that doesn't work by chatas. And a reason for that, by the way, is because the Torah says that you have to place the ashes of the parah aduma b'mokim tahor, v'yiniach b'chutzamachna b'mokim tahor. So if you're putting them inside an oil ames, even if it's in a tzamed pasul, it's still not in a mokim tahor. So therefore, it doesn't work. So therefore, it's a Mailav HaKodesh Nitzel. Now, when we talk about a din of Chatos, usually it's meant to be as opposed to anything of lesser degrees of Kedusha, and Chatos is usually the highest degree. We usually say anything. We learned, for example, in the previous Perek, that even if a person is Tohar for Kodeshim, he's still Tomei for Chatos, unless he dips in the Mikveh, specifically having in mind for Chatos. So if we're saying Chatos is not Nitzel, but Tzomet Bzil, Mailav HaKodesh Nitzel, the implication would seem to be that Kodesh would be. So in that case, we're back to, so we can put the kodesh, we can put the wine or the oil in a tzomid pasul container and bring it through the land of the kusim. And the answer is why? No. Hamayim she'en mekudoshim mitzol in the tzomid pasul. No, the implication is not chatos as opposed to kodesh. The implication is chatos as opposed to water that has been prepared for the parah adumah, but has not yet been mixed with the ashes. So that water, if you put it in a tzomid pasul container, then it can be in an oil hames and there's no problem. But the ashes themselves not, the ashes once they're mixed with the water not, and also we're saying that Kodesh not. So there's no way to bring Kodesh from the Galil to Yehuda. So then the Gemara asks, well, Oma Ula Chavraya Madkan the Galila, didn't Ula say that the Chavarim make their wine and oil Tohar in the Galil? Meaning now Ula lived long after the Churban. So apparently the point is they still had Parah Adumah ashes left over. So he says that actually in the Galil, they would be Metahar themselves using the remaining Parah Adumah ashes that they had, and they would prepare wine and oil Batahara, figuring that when the Beis Mikdash is built, they would be able to use that wine and oil from the Sochim. So there wouldn't be Makdish it, obviously. If you Makdish it, that could cause Sakola, because somebody could not realize that it's wine or oil that's reserved from the Sochim and go and drink it, and then they'd be committing Neila. But what we mean is they wouldn't actually be Makdish it, but they prepare it under condition that when the Beis Mikdash is built, it could be used for the Sochim. So then we see that in the Galil, they were preparing wine and oil for that purpose. Now what's the point if they can't go through the Ritzur Shokosim? The answer is, Manichin. What they would do is they would set that wine and oil aside, V'lachshiyove Eliyahu V'yitarena, figuring that when Eliyahu comes, he might show them a path through the land of the Kusim, which is not considered Eretz Amim, and therefore they would be able to bring it through that path. In fact, Tosfos says, how did they get Eifer Porah there in the first place? After all, Eifer Porah has to be prepared outside Yerushalayim. So Tosfos says, okay, maybe what it is there are narrow paths through the lands of the Kusim through which they could transport Eifer Porah. That would be in a small container. They could do that easily. But wine and oil have to be in bigger containers. There, they wouldn't really be able to do it. A couple of other Rishonim bring other possibilities how they could conceivably transport it from the Galil, how they could conceivably transport Eifer Parah from the Galil, from Yehuda to the Galil. And actually the Tosfos Rid says an interesting possibility. He says maybe they had Eifer Parah there from beforehand. Later on, now we know the Kusim were there from the end of the first Beis Mikdash. But this point, when they spread across the entire width of Eretz Yisrael and the whole thing became Ritzur Shel Kusim, maybe that happened only later. Therefore, there was a period of time before that when they had some Eifer Parah by them in the Galil. So later on, the Kusim spread across the whole width of Eretz Yisrael, but they still had some of those ashes, and therefore they're still able to continue using them to be Matahar themselves and their Caleb. But now when they make wine or oil and they want to bring them down to Yerushalayim, they can't because the Eretz HaKusim is blocking them. Okay. Yeah, but we're saying that eventually when Eliyahu comes, he might. So nowadays nobody has Eifer Parah anymore. That Eifer Parah that they had in the Galil is long gone. So nowadays we say we're all Tmei and mess, and there's really no alternative in the matter.
Yeah.
Back then Ula is saying even a couple hundred Ula lived two or 300 years after the Churban, and in his time apparently they still had some Eifer Parah left.
In that time
in the Galil, yeah. So the bottom line is that right now there's no way to bring wine and oil from the Galil to Eretz Yehuda and still keep it Tahar. Therefore, the Chachamim have no. Therefore, we're saying in the Mishnah that we can only trust the Amei Ha'aretz about wine and oil in Yehuda, not in the Galil, because there's no way of bringing it from the Galil. Nevertheless, Ula is telling us that in the Galil there would be Chaverim, there would be people who are careful with Tumah V'Tahara, who would press wine and oil under condition the Tara and set it aside that one day maybe it can be used for Nesachim if Yahu can show them a way through the Eretz HaKosim that it won't become Tamei. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said of a Shasa Gittes Ne'mon and Achala Truma that if at the time of the wine and oil pressing, then the Amei Oretz are trusted also about Truma, that we can trust them to say that they kept their equipment and themselves Tahor, and therefore and the grapes and olives themselves, such that now the Koyan can accept Truma from them. So the Gemara says a Ramini, I have a contradiction. A Mishnah says, Hagoymer Zesov, if a person is finished, an Amaoretz, wants to finish up his olives and press them, what should we do as far as the Truma? Again, he being an Amaoretz, then we assume that he and all of his equipment and everything is Tomei. Yeshaya Kupa Achas, let him leave over one basketful of olives, which he won't press and which will save for the Truma. V'yitnena la'oni koyin, and he will give it to a poor koyin. And that way the koyin can see that these olives were not mukshel, the kabel truma, and the koyin then can go and press those olives, v'tara, and that will be the truma that the Amaoretz is given. So now this is b'shasa gittes v'abadim, the pashtus. This is what we're talking about during the pressing season, and still we're saying that the koyin can't trust the Amaoretz, and he has to have the Amaoretz give him unpressed olives. Now, why are we saying a poor koyin? Tosfos actually says that the word oni is a mistake. It should be la'ene koyin, in front of the eyes of the koyin. You know, the koyin has to see that these olives were not pressed and were not yet mukshel kabel truma, and then he can take them from the Amaoretz and press them on his own. However, the Meiri says that maybe the word la'oni is valid, because what we mean is that if you do this with a rich koyin, then the problem is it makes it look like the koyin is misayeya beves agronis, like he's helping out, and in return you're giving him the truma, and you're not supposed to do that. Whereas if he's poor, then people are going to assume that, yeah, he was actually hired to work over there. That's not called misayeya beves agronis. Misayeya would be where he's volunteering to help. And then there's other Mephoshim also explain that Koshet, you're talking about a very small amount. You're talking about only one basketful. So therefore, it's not a matana chashuva. So for a rich koyin, it wouldn't be considered chashuv enough to be considered truma. But for a poor koyin, it's acceptable.
Truma.
We're talking about. You're supposed to, the truma and all the matnas kohuna are supposed to be given derech gedula. You're supposed to be giving them in an honorable way, because after all, the Kohen is a servant of Hashem, and you're giving it to him as he represents the whole Jewish people and doing the Avodah, so therefore you have to give it to him in an honorable way. So for a poor Kohen, so one explanation is for a poor Kohen to give him one basket full of olives is bekavadik enough. He's poor, he's used to getting small amounts, whereas for a rich Kohen, it wouldn't. But again, that's all if we say the girsa oni, like we have in front of us, but again, now according to Tosfos, it doesn't even begin, because according to them, the word oni is a mistake, and it's supposed to be la'ene koyin. Anyway, the bottom line is, again, we have in our Mishnah, we're saying that during the pressing season, we believe the Amaoretz to say that he was careful to do everything with Tara, and therefore we can take Truma from him, no problem, whereas that Mishnah in Tara is saying that not, the koyin has to take from the Amaoretz dry olives, and then he'll press them himself. So the answer is, Amar Rav Nachman, like Kasha, Hoba Chorfi, Hoba Afri. There's no contradiction. One is talking about the early ripening olives, and the other one is talking about the late ripening ones. So in other words, you have a person has a crop of olives, and Amaoretz has a crop of olives that were not ready in time, so he didn't press them at the same time as everybody else. Now, after the season is over, after the pressing season is over, he's going to press those. Well, then, that's outside of the regular pressing season. When do we say we believe that Amaoretz is only during the regular pressing season? This is already after it. Therefore, that is why the Mishnah and Taurus are talking about that case where the Koyin has to get dry olives from him and press them himself, because it's already after most people have done their pressing. Whereas our Mishnah is talking about when it's during the time when most people are doing their pressing, and then we can trust the Amaoretz. So the Gemara asks, "Amalei of Adaba Abba to Goyin Mai? What do you mean by early and late?" And one of the Mephoshim, I think, the Siach Yitzchak, touches out the question. He's asking, "Do you mean that the ones who are early? Do you mean that we don't trust the ones who are doing it early? We only trust the ones who are doing it when most people are doing it." Or is it that you're saying that the ones who do it early or in season are the ones that we trust, and only the ones that we do that do it after the season is over, do we not? Amalei. So he answers him, Ka'osim Shabbos Abicha, like the one of your father's house, where in Rav Adaba Abba's father's house, apparently they grew olives, and they used to ripen late. So therefore he's telling him, we mean Davka, the late ripening ones, like the ones in your father's house. So those are the ones where already we wouldn't trust an Amoret. So Rav Adaba Abba's father, Rav Hashas, is not an Amoret. But if he had been, then that would be the scenario when we wouldn't trust him about the Tara, and therefore the Kohen could not accept actual oil from him, only unpressed olives. Okay. So that's one answer that we're talking about, early ripening versus late ripening. Rabbi Yosef, gives a different answer to reconcile the two Mishnayos. B'galil Hashanu. We're talking about in the Galil, where our Mishnah, again, is still talking about in Yehuda. We were talking about that in Yehuda, we trust the Amoret about the wine and the oil from the Sachim. And we said that during the pressing season, we also trust them for Truma. So that's continuing. Rabbi Yosef is understanding that we're talking about still in Yehuda. But in the Galil, it would be different. Now, why would it be different in the Galil? So Tosfos points out, they have a lot of oil. The main crop in most of the Galil was olives. So therefore they tend to delay their olive pressing. They have so many olives that they can delay it until later in the season. Well, later in the season is going to be, like we just said, it's after the season. Therefore, we can't trust them anymore. But Abaya asks on Rabbi Yosef, Abraisa says, Eivra HaYarden, the Golil, the Eivra HaYarden, the east side of the Yarden, where Shevet Reuven and Gad and Hatsi Shevet Menashe used to live, and the Galil, the northern part, Harehen to Yehuda, regarding this din of Truma, they are like Yehuda. Ne'monon ala yayin v'shasa yayin v'ala shemen v'shasa shemen. We do trust them about the tara of their wine during the wine pressing season. We do trust them about the tara of their oil during the oil pressing season. Ava loy ala yayin v'shasa shemen v'loy ala shemen v'shasa yayin. But we don't trust them about the wine during the oil pressing season or vice versa. So we see clearly that there's no difference between Yehuda and Galil in this regard, because the Braita clearly says that in the Galil also, we can trust them about the olives during the olive pressing season. So therefore it's clear, we have to answer, like we answered originally, that we're talking about early ripening versus late ripening. So that's that then. So during that time of the year then, we can trust them about their wine and their oil if they made it for Tara, and therefore the Kohen can take it. But outside of that time, then we have the Mishnah in Tara that says the Kohen can't take it because it may be Tomei, because you have the Gzeira Dirabanan, that Amei Oretz and their food and their equipment and whatever is Tomei, and therefore he can't accept it as, Truma, because what's he going to be able to do with it? You can't eat Truma Tomeya. So that was during the season. We said we do trust them outside of the season. And Rav Nachman is adding, right? So Rav Nachman is adding, based on the Mishnah and Taras, that we're saying even if this particular person is pressing his grapes or olives right now, but it's outside of the season where most other people do, nevertheless, we still can't trust him. We still can't trust his Tara of it.
After
the season, exactly right. Now, the Mishnah continued, over Agitis Abadim, that if the time of the pressing of the grapes or the olives passes, they view the Chavis Shoyayin, and then the Amoretz brings the Kohen a barrel of wine and tells him that this is from the last pressing season. Lo Yikablena Himenu. So the Mishnah had said the Kohen is not allowed to accept it from him because outside of the season, we can't trust it. Ava Manicha Lagas Haba, but the Amoretz can keep that barrel until the next pressing season, and then he can give it to the Kohen. And since the whole concept of Tumas Amoretz is Dinabanan, then therefore the same Chachamim who said that you can't accept it during the rest of the year, and they say you could accept it during the pressing season, so fine, even the Amoretz brings it during the next pressing season, and you, the Kohen, happen to know that this is actually from last time, you recognize, let's say, it's the same barrel, nevertheless, you're allowed to accept it. So the Gemara says, Bo me name it of Sheshes, over the Kibla, suppose that the Kohen was over on what it says in the Mishnah, and he does accept the oil, and he does accept the oil of the wine, so granted he can't use it right now because of the Gzeira Dirabanan, but Maush Yanichen of the Gas Haba. Can he save it by him until the next pressing season and then drink it? So in other words, let's say, for example, the wine pressing season is just usually Elul. So we're saying, for example, suppose the Amah Oretz had brought this barrel of wine to the Kohen, let's say, in Elul Topshin Pei Aleph, then good, we can accept it. But if he brings it to him, let's say, in Tishrei or Cheshvan or Pei Beis, then he can't. Now, what we're saying in the Mishnah is the Amah Oretz can keep it by him until Elul Pei Beis, and he can bring it to the Kohen. What happens? He brought it in the middle of Topshin Pei Beis. He brought it, let's say, right now, Adar Pei Beis. And we don't trust him. So the Mishnah is saying the Kohen shouldn't accept it from him. Suppose he did, can the Kohen keep it by him until Elul of this year, which is the pressing season, and then he'll be allowed to drink it? Or do we say that no, only if it stays by the Amah Oretz and it's brought to him in Elul, can he do that? Amalahu, said of Sheshet, answers them to Nisua. We can answer that based on a Mishnah that we learn elsewhere, in a Mishnah in Masechta Demai. The Mishnah says, Chover v'Amah Oretz sheYoshua saviyam Amah Oretz. So you have two brothers. One's a chover who's careful in Tumah V'Tahara. The other one is an Amah Oretz who is not. And it's not just Tumah V'Tahara, actually. We also have the problem of that there's two problems over here. Number one, the chover is careful about Tumah V'Tahara and the Amah Oretz is not. You also have the problem that the Amah Oretz, which their father was also an Amah Oretz, is also not trustworthy as far as Meiser, as far as that he gave Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni and so forth, the produce that he left over in Demai. In fact, this Mishnah is a Mishnah in Demai, so you have two issues over here. You have Tumah V'Tahara and you have Demai. So the Chover and Amah Oretz inherited property from their father who is an Amah Oretz. Yochol Loi Maloi. So now the Chover can tell his brother, the Amah Oretz, he can tell them, you take the wheat that's located in a certain place, and I'll take the wheat that's located in another place. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi says, let's say the chover happens to know that the wheat in one particular place has not yet been mukshel lekabel tumah. So therefore, he wants that wheat, because that way there won't be a problem of tumah v'tahara with it. Fine, he'll have to take Meiser from it, because his father may not have taken Meiser, but at least he won't have to worry about Tumah V'Tahara. The Meiser that he takes from it will be Tahor. And the produce itself will be Tahor. And then he says, you meanwhile, you can take the wheat that's located someplace else, which was already Mukshul Kabal Tumah. It's going to be means, in other words, it's Tameh from the Amah Oretz touching it, but fine, he's saying to his brother, look, you're an Amah Oretz anyway, you don't care about these things, so therefore you take that. Why does that work? Rashi says, because it works on the grounds of Breira. So we say, again, a matter of Breira. We say, since it's both the same type of produce, since it's both wheat, so we can say that to begin with, the wheat in the particular place was designated for the Chover, and the wheat in the other place was designated for the Amah Oretz. So now, Rashi says, if it was two different minim, as the Mishnah is going to go on to say, then you can't, because then you have a problem of Lifnei Iver. Because then it comes out that, let's say, for example, we're talking wheat versus barley, as we're going to say soon, then it would be a problem, because you can't say to begin with, one son yaushened all the wheat and one son yaushened all the barley. Really, half, each one yaushened half the wheat and half the barley. Now he's giving some of it to his brother, the Amah Oretz, and he's being over on the favor, because he's causing his brother is going to end up eating. He's going to end, in particular, he's going to end, now you have the problem of Demai, where his brother is not going to take Meiser from it, so he's going to end up eating Tevel, or possible Tevel, because Demai. But if it's the same kind of thing, if it's both wheat, then he can do that, because then we can say Breira. And similarly, you can tell him, Tol at the Yayin Shemokim Pliny, Vani Yayin Shemokim Pliny. You take the wine that's located in one place, and I'll take the wine in a different place. But you can't say to him, you take the stuff that's fresh and I'll take the stuff that's dry, because that already is more like two minim, even though it's the same kind of thing. They're both wheat, let's say. Or no, lach vani yavish would mean, for example, like you take all the liquid and I'll take all the solids. You can't do that. Or tolat achitin vani sorin. You can't tell him, for example, you take all the wheat and I'll take all the barley. Because again, then you can't say greira on that, and then it comes out that he's giving him dmai, or he's giving him food that may be tame, and he's being over on with neighbor. Ve'toni Allah. Now, thus far the Mishnah. Now we learn in a brisa regarding that Mishnah. Oisei chover, sort of halach, maniach as a yavish. Suppose now, so you have, let's say there was lach versus yavish, and the chover had no choice. He inherited some of the lach, and he inherited some of the yavish. So what is he able to do with the lach? He can't use it because it might be tomei. So therefore, sort of halach, he has to burn if he's a Kohen, and there's oil of Truma over there, so then he can burn it, because again, he can't eat it, because it's Tumah. She can leave the dry things because those are tahor. Now the question is, now if you're going to tell me, now again, the question they asked of Sheshes was that if the chover receives the barrel outside of the season, is he allowed to keep it until the next pressing season and then use it? Why should he specifically have to burn the oil of Truma that he inherited, for example? Why can't he save it for the next gas and then he'd be able to use it? So that shows that you can't do that. And the answer is the Gemara says that's not necessarily a proof. But Davash ain't like gas. You could say you're talking about the kind of thing that doesn't have a regular pressing season. For example, Rashi says, let's say they took dates of Truma and made them into beer. So there's no particular season when people do that. Dates are available many different times during the year. So therefore there's no gas haba to talk about. Okay, the Gemara says, fine, why can't he leave it for the next yomtiv? Over the next couple of blocks, that the Chachamim relaxed the rules of Tumas Amaretz on the Yomim Tovim, and they said that the Amaretz are considered like Chavedim during that time, and we don't worry about them being Tomei. So why don't we say the same thing? Tumas Amaretz Beregel Ketara Shavuot Rabbanan. We're going to learn tomorrow that the Chachamim considered them as if they're all Tahor during the Yomim Tovim, which they do. They have a responsibility to become Tahor. Chayav Adam Mutar Atme Beregel. But we're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that in fact, that is the din. During the regal, the Amiya Oretz are considered Tahor. So why can't the Chover do that? Let him keep this barrel of beer until the next Yomtiv. Then at that point, the Amiya Oretz are considered Tahor. So now he should be able to use that beer. And the answer is, B'devash, and Mishtam al-Regal. Fine, let's say we're talking about something which is not going to keep until the next Yomtiv. But if it would keep till the next yomtiv, then you're right. Conceivably, the chaver could do that. Okay, so there's no real proof one way or the other what happens if he accepts the barrel out of season. Would we say that he's not allowed to use it, or would we say he can save it until the next pressing season? There's no real proof one way or the other. Now, the Mishnah had said, V'im Amo Hifrashki L'Socha Revius Kodesh Ne'eman, we said in the Mishnah that if the Amoret says that inside this barrel of Truma there is a Revius of Kodesh, then we trust him, because since we trust him about Kodesh, then automatically he's trusted about the Truma as well. So now the Gemara is going to ask about a din which we want to try to bring our Mishnah as a proof for. So, Tnan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Olas. Now, you have the concept of a Besa Pras. The last time we learned about it was in the second Moed Cotton. It's talking about here and there all over Shas. A Besa Pras is a field where there was a kever in it. There was a grave in it, and then somebody went and plowed over the field. So now we're concerned that pieces of bones from the mess may have been scattered all over the field. And a bone, even the size of a grain of barley, is Matamiya person. So therefore, so the Chachamim declared that area of Beis HaPras, 100 amas in each direction from the, 100 amas, not in each direction, 100 amas, from the caver, 100 by 100 amas from the caver in the direction in which he plowed. So that whole area is considered a Beis HaPras. Now, so therefore, if a person goes in there, he's tumim it's rabbanan, because he may have touched a piece of bone over there. So now, Tnan Hossam, so we learn in a Mishnah in all this, Moedin Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Even though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree about some other detail of the Beis HaPras, they both agree. Shaboykin lo'osei Pesach. We can check the field, as we're going to explain soon, how we check for a person who's on his way to bring his Korban Pesach. So a person is on his way to Yerushalayim to bring the Korban Pesach, and the road that he has to travel on passes through a Beis HaPras. So if we were to prevent him from going through the Beis HaPras, that would prevent him from bringing his Korban Pesach. And since not bringing the Korban Pesach involves an Issur Kodesh, then the Chachamim are going to relax the rules over there and allow him to pass through with Neficha, as we're going to talk about in a minute, with Bedikah. The Ein Boitkin L'Oichei Truma, but the Shammai and the Sivu both agree that does not work for people who want to eat Truma, meaning, in other words, if a person wants to pass through a Beis HaPras, because he's going to a place where there's food of truma, that we don't allow him to do this bedikah that we're going to talk about now in order to do that, because after all, there's no particular time, there's no deadline for eating truma. He can go through the Beis HaPras, fine, then he'll get sprinkled with pot adruma water in case he became tummy mess, and afterwards he'll eat the truma. Now, my boidkin, so what exactly is this boidkin? What exactly are we checking? Now, the Mishnah does describe over there in all this, there's a way of checking the place to make it that permanently, if not a base of pras anymore. But here we're not talking about that. Here we're asking what kind of checking a person who wants to pass through there, he doesn't want to check the whole thing to make sure that's never again a base of pras. That's not his concern. He just wants to make sure that he can get there through there and not become tamei. So what does he do? What's the boidkin? What he can do is he can blow through the Beis HaPras as he's going through. So what he does is he either gets on his hands and knees, or the Meiri says maybe he uses a long tube. As he's walking along, he blows on the dirt ahead of him. If there's an etzem kisa'ura, if there's a bone the size of a grain of barley or larger, then he'll see it and only he'll know to avoid it. Now keep in mind, bones that size are not metame ba'oihel. So there's no problem that he might be standing over one, that one is buried in the dirt and he's going to be over it and he might not notice it. That's not a problem. A bone that size is only metame b'mago hamasa, only if he touches it or carries it. So fine, what he does is he blows the dirt aside, and that way if there's any bones there, then he sees them and he avoids them. And so he can go through the whole Beis HaPras that way. That's the bedikha that we're talking about. And the Gemara also mentions, Beis HaPras shenidosh tahor. Also, if a Beis HaPras was trampled on, then it becomes tahor permanently, because, in other words, Rashi in different places explains, either because the trampling will have reduced any bones over there to less than the size of a grain of barley, and then they're not metame anymore, or because it will just, all the trampling that people or animals or whatever will trample through the field will have removed all the bones over there. Whatever the case, so Rashi says, therefore, the word boidkin can also mean you can start investigating, you can ask around, was this Beis HaPras, since the place was plowed, did anybody trample it? And therefore, if they say, yeah, then the person is allowed to go through there to make his Korban Pesach, but still not in order to eat truma. Because we're saying, ain't boidkin l'oisei truma. For that, you would need to do, the Mishnah goes on to describe over there what you need to do in order to make the place permanently tahor. Essentially, you need to go and sift through all the dirt over there looking for bones. The reason why we allow going through a Beis HaPras and using one of these methods of bedikah for a person who's going to be making a Korban Pesach, the reason is, because the Chachamim did not make the Gzeiros stand up where it involves Kares. Given that the whole concept of a Beis HaPras is only Drabanan, D'Araisa, we're not necessarily concerned that the bones may have been scattered all over, especially because most mason are usually very deep, the plow might not even get to them. So therefore, midaraisa, the person is not chame at all, only midrabanan. So therefore, when it comes to, if he doesn't bring his Korban Pesach, he's going to be chayav kares, then the chachamim will relax their rules and allow him to use one method or another of bedikah in order to go through it. Lo'ochle truma, whereas when it comes to eating truma, hamidu debrein mokam misa, there, since there's a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim for eating truma when a person is tamei, then the chachamim kept their rule over there and said, still we have to be concerned that he might be tamei, and even this bedikah is not going to help him, because like Rashi said, anyway, there's no deadline for eating truma; he can do it some other time. There are rishonim who have a girsa over here, not misa but esa, that is, eating truma is only a mitzvah esa. There's no kares involved. If he doesn't eat truma, he's failing to do a mitzvah esa, but there's no lav involved. So therefore, the chachamim are still going to uphold their rule. Fine, so you'll miss doing an esa, but we're not going to allow you to go through a Beis HaPras to do that. So now that we established all of that, now comes the question, which is going to relate to our Mishnah, Iboilahu, Bodak Rapiskai Maushi Yecha B'Tirmaseh. Suppose a person had to go through a Beis HaPras. So he did this bedikah, he was on his way to bring his Korban Pesach, and he said he can do this bedikah in order to bring his Korban Pesach. Now, having gone through there, is he also, if he's a Kohen, allowed to eat truma? So if he had just gone through there on his way to eat truma, we would tell him no. But now that we already allowed him through there for the Pesach, do we maybe say that at this point, then, we already consider him tahor enough for truma as well? So, Ula says that yes.
Rabba Bar Ula Omer bought it for Pesach also like Chavut Shurma says. And Rabba Bar Ula, which Pashtus is Ula's son, says that no, the Chachamim would still uphold their rule. You still can't eat Shurma after going through a Beis HaFast. You were allowed to because you went through for the Korban Pesach. Doesn't matter. That only allows you to eat the Korban Pesach. Omer Le'ahu Sava. So a certain elder said to a certain elder, Talmud Chacham, said to Rabba Bar Ula, and Tosfos mentions in Chulin, for example, that very often when it says in the Gemara, Hahu Sava, it means Aviyoa Navi, so it may mean that over here as well. Anyway, he tells him, Loi Tiflo Galei De Ula, you should not be arguing on Ula, because we can prove his point from our Mishnah. So actually, Rabba Bar Ula, now that I think of it, is probably not Ula's son, otherwise he would tell him, Loi Tiflo Galei De Avrucha, or something like that. So it's Mashmah, maybe that he's not his son. Anyway, so he tells him, don't argue with Ula, it's non kapaseh. Because after all, our Mishnah is a proof for him. Because if our Mishnah had said about the Amoret, if the Amoret says that I designated a revius inside this barrel as Kodesh, Naaman, then we believe him not only about the Kodesh, but also about the Truma in the barrel. Alma, Mid Mehaman Akodesh Mehaman Namiya Truma. So we see that since we trust him about the Kodesh, we also trust him about the Truma, because it actually says it would be a gnai for the Mizbeach that you should have, that the Truma that's connected within in a barrel should be Becheskas Truma, and then you're gonna take the Kodesh and offer it on the Mizbeach. So therefore, once we trust him about one, then we have to trust him about the other. Well, Hochanami, the same thing over here. Midi Mehaman HaPesach. Since we trust him, since we accept that his Bedikah was valid, that he could bring his Korban Pesach, Mehaman Nami HaTruma, then we should also be able to trust that he did a valid Bedikah that would be good enough for Truma, and therefore in that case he could eat the Truma. Once he's allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, then he is allowed to eat Truma as well, like Ula says. So therefore, Ahu Saba tells him that's how it should be. So we see we're using our Mishnah as a proof for that. Next, the Mishnah had said, Kade Yain v'kade Shemen, v'chola. We said, another din is that when there's barrels of wine or oil, then we said that the Amoretz is trusted about that, and we said, the Medumois, which we said, v'pashas Meduma, means Truma mixed with Cholin, but we're going to see now what Meduma actually means. So we said the Amoretz is trusted about them during the time of the pressing, as well as 70 days before that. So the Gemara says, Tana, we don't have Braisa. Ein Neman and Loyal Kankanim v'Loyal Truma. We don't trust them, though, regarding the Kankanim, regarding the containers, or regarding the Truma. So what do we mean by that? So Kankanim Demai. What kind of Kankanim are we talking about? E Kankanim de Kodesh. If we're talking about containers that have Kodesh in them, well, why shouldn't we trust him? Migo de Mehemen HaKodesh, Mehemen Nami HaKankanim. Once we trust him about the Kodesh, we have to trust him about the barrels that are inside. Again, it would be like we said before, the Ignai, to say that the wine is going to be poured on the Mizbeah and the containers that are inside are Becheskas Truma. So necessarily, we have to trust them about the barrels as well. Ela Kankanim de Truma. So are we talking about, we're saying we don't trust them about the barrels of Truma? Well, of course, pshita, hashtag truma le mehaman, akankanim mehaman. We don't even trust them about truma outside of the season. How much more so, we're not going to trust them about the barrel that the truma is in. And again, if we assume that meduma over here means, as it usually does, truma mixed with cholin, then we're talking about outside of the season. We don't even trust them about the truma. Of course, we're not going to trust them about meduma. Ela berekonim de kodesh. So rather, the answer is, when the Mishnah says kankanim, and when the Braisa rather says that we don't trust them, that Kankanim means empty ones from Kodesh. So he had wine or oil of Kodesh in the barrels, then he emptied them out. Now, we don't trust that he was guarding them. Now that the barrels are empty, we don't trust that he was guarding them Batara. We have to assume that those barrels are Tomei because an Amoretz was handling them. So that's what it means. So therefore, and we're talking about during the rest of the year, because after all, Kodesh, there's no difference between one season and another. We always say, except for during the Yom Tovim, that Amei Oretz are Tomei and Ometamei things. So therefore, so these barrels, so even though we trust them on Kodesh all year round, we don't trust them on the barrels all year round once the barrels were emptied out. Over Malayan, the Truma, over Shasa Gittes. And the Braisa, then when it says that we don't trust them, that Truma is talking about full barrels of Truma, And we're talking about b'shas agittis, we're talking about during the time of the pressing. Now, we're saying that we do assume that the truma itself is tahor, because we want the kohenim to be able to get the truma of Eretz Yisrael, but we don't trust them about the barrels, meaning that the kohen, when he receives the truma of wine or oil from the Amoret, he cannot keep it in the original barrel. He has to bring along his own barrel, which is tahor, and have the Amoret pour the wine or the oil into that. And only then can the kohen drink that wine or drink that oil. So that's what, in other words, Rashi says. Why b'chlal did we make that during Shas Agibbetz v'Abadim we're trusting the Amei Oret about their Tara? The reason is because most farmers in Eretz Yisrael were Amei Oret, and if we say that the kohenim can't accept truma ever from Amei Oret, then the kohenim chaverim are suffering a great loss. There's almost no truma that they can get. Therefore, we allow it. But we don't allow them to use the barrels, and they have to provide their own barrels. That's what we're saying.
So basically, they use the barrels, and they use them for the entire of them during the barrels.
So what we're saying is, when the Amoret comes to the Kohen and says, or the Kohen comes to the Amoret, as the case may be, and the Amoret says, I have wine or oil of Truma for you, then, and it's doing Shasa Gittes Rabadim, so then we're able to trust that the wine or the oil is tahor, so the kohen will say, okay, let me bring a barrel, and you'll pour the wine or the oil into this barrel, and then I'll be able to take it. But I can't take your barrel, because your barrel does not have a cheskes tahor. Yeah. So that's what the braisa means, that we don't trust them about the kankanim, or about the truma, means we don't trust them about empty containers of kodesh, and we also don't trust them about full containers of truma. They have to empty it out into another container. So the Gemara said Tznan. Well, let's look at our Mishnah and figure out. The Mishnah had said Kade Yain v'Kade Shemen haMedumois, that when you have jugs of wine or oil that are Medumois. Now, what is Meduma? My lab Medumois, the Truma. The word Medumois usually means Truma mixed with Cholin. And the Mishnah had said that we do trust them about it. So we do trust them even about the barrels. So we see that we do trust them about the barrels, not like the Braisa says. The answer is Amid Veda Priya Medumois de Kodesh. No, here in our Mishnah, the word Meduma means differently than usual. It means that Kodesh is mixed in over there. The Gemara says, Mi ikka Dimua la Kodesh. Since when is there such a thing as Dimua as far as Kodesh? The word Dimua, well, you can say when you have Tevel and you haven't taken Truma out yet, you have over here, interestingly, in Rashi, you have a Tosfos printed in the middle of Rashi over here. So when, with Truma, it's relevant to use the word Dimua, because you can say you have to take out Truma to begin with. Until you take out the Truma, it's called Tevel. And therefore, in a looser sense, we can call it Meduma, because there is potential Truma mixed in over here. You have to separate out the Truma, and right now it's mixed in. So we can call it Meduma. Even technically, Meduma means when you've separated Truma, and then afterwards it falls into Cholin. That's the real definition of Meduma. But fine, in a looser sense, we can use it when you haven't taken out the Truma yet. But Kodesh, you're not obligated to take out Kodesh in the first place. How can we even call it Meduma, because there's potential Kodesh in there?
It should, right.
In other words, only if he designated Kodesh, then we can talk about Kodesh in there, but not otherwise. Yeah. And the answer is Amid Dvei Rabbi Loi, the Metaharis Tivloi Lutum Menu Nesachim. We're talking about actually where the Amoret wants to make sure that his Tevel is Tahor, so that he can use it for Nesachim. So now, you have those involved over there in that barrel, those Chulin and Kodesh and Truma. So we trust him about the Kodesh. Therefore, together with that, we trust him about the Truma. Like we said before, the Svara of Ula, that once we trust him about one, automatically we have to trust him about the other, because it would be a Gnai. The same thing, it would be a Gnai for Kodesh to say that the barrels that you use for Kodesh should themselves not have a Cheskes Tahara. Therefore, of necessity, we say that in that case, everything, we trust the Amoret's about everything, the Kodesh that's going to be separated out in these barrels, as well as the Truma, as well as the barrels themselves, we can trust them about all of those, because otherwise it's a Gnai. But not in other words, if it was just Truma, then not. Then we would say that he has to pour it from the barrels into other barrels. And if the barrel is empty, then we also don't trust him. Okay. The Mishnah said, Kodem Lagidjas Shivim Yoim. We said we trust the Amoret as far as the Tara, even 70 days before the pressing season. Amar Abaye, Shema Amina, we see from that a din in Dine Mominus, Dinahu, the din is, the Ilove Arisa, Lamitra, Hagufi, that the oris, now you often have, you don't take care of your own fields or vineyards or whatever, you hire an oris to you hire an artist to do it, and he gets a percentage of the produce. So so his job is to take care of the field or the vineyard or whatever. His job is also to deal with the wine pressing or olive pressing. So Abaye is saying, based on this, we see that the artist has to lemitra hagufi. He has to start working on preparing barrels for the wine, shivim yoyim, kamim atzarta, for 70 days before the pressing, because we see in our mission that 70 days before is already the beginning of the season, is already the pre-season, and they're already starting to prepare things for it, and the same way then therefore the artist has to work on preparing barrels to put the wine into once he supervises the pressing. Okay.